Welcome to the 263rd episode of the 4th and 24 podcast with Patrick Winograd. I'm your host today, Patrick Winograd. In this edition, our topics are an overview of my weekend predictions, a preview of the NBA Finals, and a weekly look at MLB. Let's jump right in with the look back at my weekend predictions, which have been posted every Thursday for a long time, but will be going on a little bit of hiatus, actually. All non-podcast content will be going on a little bit of a hiatus here as my dad and I are working towards a little bit of a busier summer, so all of that content will be on pause for a little bit. It'll come back eventually, at least in the fall for football season, if not a little bit before then, although, you know, it's only really MLB predictions in the summer anyway, so it's a little bit of a dry season regardless, but that does include the MLB power rankings as well for now. Might update those every once in a while, but probably not going to be on a regular basis anytime soon. Jumping into those predictions, I went 2-2 this week. All of those, like I said, MLB predictions. That means that, of course, the Padres took 2 of 3 from the Royals in that series. I picked the Royals, so I got that one wrong. The Yankees swept the Giants. I got that one right. The Orioles took 2 of 3 from the Rays. I got that one right. And then the Twins took 2 of 3 from the Astros, so I got that one wrong. Overall, 2-2, which means overall record now sits at 1,075 and 687, which is still a 61.0% winning percentage. Overall, pretty satisfied with my predictions this week. Unfortunately, couldn't really watch many of those games, so don't have too many specific comments. But with that, we will move on to the NBA. I should mention that these podcast episodes will be pretty much mini podcasts for the foreseeable future. Still want to have the podcast content going, but not going to have as much time. So these will be a lot shorter than the normal ones, but I still want to keep recording them. But yeah, just a little bit shorter as we head into really what's just MLB season. Of course, French Open going on right now as well. I have been paying some attention to that when I've had time. But without further ado, let's move on to the NBA Finals preview. Of course, we have the Mavs and the Celtics. If I were to give my prediction, I think the Celtics win this series, and I think it happens probably in 5 or 6 games. I do think the Mavericks will make every game close, but I do just think that the Celtics have a much better overall roster than the Mavericks do, and I just think that over the course of the entire series, the Celtics are going to be able to win out pretty easily. I don't know the status of Kristaps Porzingis. Not sure if that's really been publicized that much. He is a game-time decision for Thursday. But the Celtics, I think they should honestly be fine without him if he doesn't play, and if he does play, then that's just an extra plus for Boston. It'll make it really hard for the Mavs to kind of get out on the perimeter and guard a guy like Porzingis, considering the personnel that the Mavericks have with Lively, with Daniel Gafford, who obviously aren't as mobile as some other big men are. Lively can definitely get out there and guard on the perimeter a little bit better than Daniel Gafford can, but still going to be kind of a tough matchup for them personnel-wise. And then, you know, everywhere else on the court, I really do think that, you know, between Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Drew Holiday, they can all split up Luka and Kyrie duties enough that they'll throw different looks at them, and Derek White too, of course, that they'll throw different looks at them defensively, and as a result, I think the Mavs will, you know, struggle to adjust to that kind of a thing, and I think that, you know, it probably carries throughout the series. And that's the reason why the Celtics end up winning the series. They have been big favorites, obviously, for the finals most of the year. So maybe not the most interesting prediction, I hate to say it. But look, I think they're going to win. I'll say in 6 games officially, even though I said 5 or 6 earlier. But 6 games is the official prediction. I just think that, like I said earlier, personnel-wise, the Celtics have a little bit too much to handle. Personnel-wise, the Celtics have too much for the Mavericks to handle. So I'm picking Boston for that reason. And I think it'll still be a close series, though, a fun one to watch. But unfortunately, the Celtics, you know, I don't want to say it's a boring conclusion, but, you know, maybe it is a little bit because they've been favored all year long. And they are the best team. It's always fun to see the underdogs win, but I don't think that's going to happen. So I will move on from that to our MLB recap as we move swiftly along through this podcast. But we will start, as always, in the American League East, where the Yankees sit atop the division. 42-19 is their record. It is tied with the Phillies for the best record in baseball heading into action on Tuesday. So good on the Phillies for that, or good on the Yankees, well, and the Phillies too, for that record. Then you have Baltimore in second at 38-20, 2.5 back of those two teams. They also do have the fourth best overall record, third in the AL. So pretty good season for Baltimore. It's looking like those two will be the runaway. I mean, obviously at the beginning of the season they already were, but you know, the runaway favorites to actually claim this division title in the AL East. But if you look at the wild card standings, the other teams in this division, definitely relevant. The Red Sox, 3.5 back of a wild card spot at 30-30. The Tampa Bay Rays, just one game under 500, or 4.5 games back at 29-31. And then the Blue Jays are 28-31. So they are 5 games back in the wild card. I know it's too early to be talking about that, but these teams are all more than 10 games out of the divisional race. So not necessarily worth talking about in that aspect. But you know what? I would say this division has been as competitive as advertised, if not more, considering the surge in with the Red Sox, considering that, you know, they really weren't expected to be near the top of this division or even near the middle of this division. Definitely picked across the board, really, to be towards the bottom. But, you know, they have come out. They've put together a pretty decent season considering all the injuries that have impacted that team. And, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, you have the Blue Jays, who were supposed to be in the Red Sox spot, probably in third, if not a little bit higher. And they just haven't had it all season long. They just really haven't been performing up to expectations. But moving on from the AL East, we will go to the AL Central. Cleveland leading that division. They were on a big, big hot streak for a while. And while the Royals have kind of slumped in their play, it means that Cleveland has opened up a 4-game lead over Kansas City. They do have the third best record in all of baseball, so nothing to be ashamed of being 4 games back if you're Kansas City. But 36-25 record there, 4-6 in their last 10. So Kansas City hitting a little bit of a wall here in the middle of the season. Meanwhile, you have Minnesota, who is 7-3 in their last 10. They are 33-26 on the season, 6 games back of the Guardians. Then you have the Detroit Tigers. They are 9.5 back at 30-30, same record as the Red Sox, 7-3 in their last 10, which also means that they are, of course, 3.5 games back in the wild card race. If you really want to look at that this early, which maybe not the smartest idea because it is a little too early for that, only 60 games in, 102 to go for the Tigers and the Red Sox, those teams that I was talking about earlier. And then you have the White Sox, who are also 60 games in. And unfortunately, 15-45 is their record. They have lost 11 games in a row. A rough season, to say the least, for the White Sox. But, yeah, that's really it in the Central. Then you have the West, where, you know, it's been a struggle for most of these teams. But the Mariners, they've kind of started to turn the corner, and they've done it at a time where the rest of their division isn't playing at that high of a level. They are now 7 games above 500 at 34-27. Their run differential is still only plus 7, but now the Rangers, even though they are 29-31, they have joined them, you know, on the plus side of the run differential board. But you know, it's a little bit bad for this division that there's only two teams with a positive run differential on the season, and one of those, of course, is under 500 with their record, and they're the defending champs, so they should be a little bit better than that. But then, going back to the Mariners, they have won 3 in a row. They're 7-3 in their last 10, so a strong recent performance by them. The Rangers sitting 4.5 back with that record, like I said, 29-31. The Astros at 27-34 are still 7 games back, so felt like they were kind of surging going towards the top of the standings, and then their momentum has kind of cooled off since then. But then you have the A's at 24-37, 10 games back. And then the Angels at 22-38, 11.5 games back at the bottom of this division, saved by the White Sox to not have the worst record in the American League, of course. But they are third worst in all of baseball, so that's not too great. Or excuse me, fourth worst. But then We'll move on to the National League East. Atop both of the Eastern divisions, whether you're talking about the National League or the American League, of course, you have the two teams sharing the best record entering the day. The Phillies with a 42-19 record, identical to the Yankees' 42-19 record. Of course, we have the Braves in second. Some bad news for them that makes it look like the Phillies are destined to win the division this year. Ronald Acuna will be out for the season. He joined Spencer Strider on that list in terms of notable Braves, so it is a little bit different than the last time around, where the Braves were able to win the World Series without Acuna. Of course, that time they did have a healthy pitching staff, and also traded for a lot of production to make sure that they shored up the roster. We'll see if that trade market is really as valuable this year as it was in 2021. I don't really think it will be, based on the teams who are in those lower spots. You know, based on the fact that a guy like Luis Arraez is already off the market. You know, maybe, I mean, the best name I can think of right now is probably Luis Renjifo, who's having a pretty good season for the Angels, but of course, they will not be contending. But I don't really know what his contract looks like, so frankly, I don't know if he's a trade candidate. You look at some players on the Blue Jays, maybe, if they haven't signed long-term deals or they just aren't signed beyond this year, and that team decides to go that direction, if they keep up, you know, not playing as well as they have all season. But I just don't know if the Braves have enough to reload midseason like they did in 2021, retool the whole outfield like they did that season. So it's going to be a struggle for them, it looks like. But they're still a good team, even without Acuna. Still definitely a playoff team in the NL, but just not as strong of a contender for the World Series, and probably means that the Phillies win this division. They do have a 7-game advantage right now, and they are definitely playing like the best team in baseball, between them and the Yankees. I think those are the only teams you could really argue right now. But then, in third in this division, you have the Nationals. They're at 27-32. They're 14 games back. Of course, then you have the Mets at 16.5 games back. 25-35 is their record. The Marlins at 21-39 are the bottom of this division. They have the worst record in the National League, and the second worst record in all of baseball, only better than the White Sox. And then finally, you have in the Central Division, the Brewers leading it at 36-24. They also have a 7-game advantage, which will become a theme that we'll talk about in a second. But they are 7-3 in their last 10. They have a positive run differential, the only team in this division other than the Reds, which is odd because we'll get to that in a second, that actually does have a positive run differential. Of course, the Cubs, that means, have a negative run differential. They also are under 500 now, just 2-8 in their last 10 games. Their offense has really struggled recently, which has caused them to drop below 500. 29-31 is their record. Then you have the Cardinals at 28-30. They are also 7 games back. They've been playing better recently, 6-4 in their last 10, but still not enough to really cut into the deficit that they had dug for themselves already. Then you have the Pirates, 8.5 games back at 27-32. And finally, Cincinnati at 27-33. So despite the fact that they have a positive run differential, they're plus 3 on the year, they are the worst team in this division. What's interesting to note, though, is that, you know, the NL is so weak that the Cubs and the Cardinals, excuse me, are tied for the last wild card spot right now, despite the fact that both teams are 2 games under 500. Which is pretty interesting to monitor, considering it means a team like Cincinnati is only 2 games out, and their 7-3 streak in their last 10 games means that they're pretty much right in the playoff picture, despite having a really terrible start to the season. And then, moving on to the West, you have the Dodgers. They are 38-23, definitely playing good baseball recently, but only in the very, very near past. The 5th best record in the league, 2nd best in the National League. But look, it took the Dodgers a series against the Mets to really, really wake up. Including that series, the Dodgers have now won the last 3 games at the end of the month before they dropped 1 game to the Rockies out of that 3-game series. So the Dodgers have won 5 of their last 6, but they did lose the previous 5 games right before that. A little bit of a rough patch for them. 5-5 in their last 10, of course, is the end result of that. But at the same time, they've won 2 in a row. They're still in a comfortable lead in the NL West, 7 games ahead of the second-place Padres, who are 5-5 in their last 10 as well. But of course, they have a little bit more ground to make up. Even though they're one game above 500 at 32-31, they are actually currently in the second wild card spot in the National League. Then, of course, you have the Giants and the Diamondbacks. Giants at 29-32, Arizona at 28-32. Both of these teams are 4-6 in their last 10, but the Giants lost 5 in a row heading into today. The Diamondbacks won 3 in a row heading into today, including beating the Giants in the first game of their series. Giants, of course, got swept over the weekend by the Yankees and then lost the first game of this series. And then you have the Rockies, who lost the last two of the series against the Dodgers. They are 16 games back. 21-38 is their record. 356 winning percentage is better than the Marlins, but it's still worse than the Angels, excuse me. So they do have the third worst record in all of baseball. With that, though, that will wrap up this edition of the 4th and 24 podcast. Please be sure to check out our next podcast, which will be on Sunday, June 9th, where we will once again look at my weekend predictions, have another look at the NBA playoffs, and have another weekly review of MLB action. Of course, that change to Sunday will hopefully mean that there can be a little bit of a longer podcast episode, but kind of still depends on the schedule. We'll see what happens there. I would like to be able to record that and probably post it before game two of the finals, but we'll see what happens with that. And Sunday might be the day going forward. It might not be. Everything's a little bit up in the air, but still trying to get these episodes out for y'all. But in the meantime, please be sure to check out my additional content, which includes my picks from last weekend's games, which of course were posted last Thursday, and my MLB power rankings, which were posted last Wednesday. Again, not so sure if those will be updated in the future, but check those out for now on our website, and stay tuned for the full college football predictions, which will be making their return. Excited to announce that. Everything else, of course, on hiatus for a little bit. We'll see what happens. But all of that on our website for now, maybe renewing soon, hopefully sooner rather than later, on our website, 4thand24.com. That's the number 4, THAND, the number 24.com. Thank you for listening.